There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, and there you have it. There you go. With the qualifying.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 1006, August 21st, 2023. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say Rolex has reunion at Laguna Seca. F1 Weekly has reunion on the left coast in the Palatial Studios. Greetings and racing regards from California. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On tonight's program, Max to Mercedes, perhaps? Fernando beginning to reflect on that marvelous and wonderful career of his. Felipe Massa is taking his lawsuit to the next level. And Bill Vukovic passes away at the age of 79. And this week's interview, the great photographer Tim Vicek. And of course, my usual spiel, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. I want to thank Andrew Stanish for his support. Thank you. And, wow, we had a great weekend. Nasser was reporting at Laguna Seca. I hit the other stage on the other side of town with some interesting finds at some of the auctions. Nass, welcome to the studio. I know you had a great time. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. And good to see you in Cali after a few years. And as you mentioned, you have been a busy French bee long before the weekend began. So let's get the goodies on all the historic vehicles you have seen come and go under the hammer of RM Sotheby's and Bonhams. And tell me more about that beautiful 2002 Schumi Ferrari. What's going on there?
The Schumacher display was very awesome. It was somewhat moving if you had followed and we're very familiar with the Schumacher circumstances, but it was the F2001B, which they took from 2001 and raced in 2002, because the 2002 really wasn't up to the Schumacher quality. So, very historic car, awesome car, and then the display of racing suits from Benetton to Ferrari, and all the helmets. It was just very well done, very tastefully done. I love this stuff. I mean, you have to give it to RM. They worked on this for several months before the doors were finally open, and it was just very, very nice. And of course, all the Ferraris we saw this weekend, it was completely out of control. Collections galore. I mean, if you didn't see it, it wasn't there, but it's actually, you go into overload, there are so many wonderful things to look at. So it's a very exhausting, but it's fun, and it's great for the people of F1Weekly.com.
Very true, sir, and I had a great time also, and I love all the improvements that have been done at the track since my last trip to the left coast a few years ago. The track has been resurfaced and looks very fresh. Weather was good, folks were friendly. And such an event is a great opportunity to see racing and historic cars from days and decades gone by. And let's look at some of the eye candy on show at Laguna Seca over the past weekend at the Rolex reunion at Laguna Seca. We'll start with your interest, of course, from Delage in French Racing Blue to Team Penske AMC Javelin of Mark Donohue. That is also very emotional. Boss Mustang 302, one of my all-time favorite street car named Desire, to the 1976 Ferrari 312T of Niki Lauda. This car, Ferrari, was in mint condition. And the man taking care of the car told me, driver of the car, a chap named Steve McAllister, who was wearing Niki Lauda's helmet design, is also the owner of the vehicle. And this 76 Ferrari is a beautiful car designed by Mauro Forghieri. The guy I was talking to did not have the attitude of Megan Thee Stallion, so I asked him a few questions and I told him, we're not, you know, spying on your operation, but just as a lifelong racing fan, need some questions. He told me the car is stored in Indianapolis, and the obvious question was related to engine overhaul. This is not something you take to Jiffy Lube or Meineke Muffler and get it fixed. He told me there are very few people in this world qualified to work on these engines, and once in a while, they have to ship the engine to England. And I asked him, why not Maranello? And he said with a big smile, they will charge us arm and a leg. And you know how much factory repair is. There was also an Elio De Angelis JPS Lotus, black and gold, 1985 Tyrrell, 1974 Brabham, plus 5,000 cars, sports cars, and, you know, much, much more. But Mr. Rogers, as we all know, any business is all about people. Look at the people that were there. Zac Brown was there driving a few vehicles from his private collection, including a Papaya, which I understand was a Dan Gurney Can-Am McLaren. Very nice, very loud. I saw him leave the garage area, so it was very nice. But despite numerous attempts with his PR people before and at the event, which included a call being made from their PR person at the track to home base in Jolly Old England, we were unable to connect with Zac for a conversation for the people of F1 Weekly Familia. But I appreciate the efforts of all involved, and there is always mañana. Then we had another close encounter. This was by chance. I did not know, but I saw Dario Franchitti on Friday afternoon, so I had a brief chat with him. And I asked if we could do a 10-minute interview with him on Saturday. He said, sure, but you'll have to work out the time with PR lady Sarah, who was not at the track on Friday. And then he said, she will be very busy Saturday, as Gordon Murray will be here, which was absolute news to me. So I was blown away. We're talking Gordon Murray, the man who's designed some of the most beautiful Formula One cars, the Martini Brabham, the Parmalat Brabham, and he was also involved in this big controversy, who designed the 1988 McLaren that Senna drove to the championship. Gordon Murray says he does. A gentleman by the name of Steve Nichols, who was already there, an American chap, he said he was responsible for that design, and Gordon Murray came, you know, during the season. So that's another story for another day. So on Saturday, I met Miss Sarah, very nice lady, and Dario was right. It was a busy scene at GMA, which is Gordon Murray Automobile Area. She said we can try it around 3:30 p.m., but unfortunately, the 74 Brabham that Dario was supposed to drive, and I believe he did drive the vehicle, developed some technical issues, which screwed up the schedule. But Sarah was kind enough to say she will try to arrange a virtual interview with both Dario and Gordon Murray. And this was without being asked to do so. But that's nice. Now, here is the best part, Mr. Rogers. She said to me, you are welcome to visit our facility next time you are in England. So I told her, please get some Lipton mint tea ready in March. Moa will be there. So we'll see what we can do here. And now, Mr. Rogers, since the NFL season is about to start, Red Lobster presents Catch of the Day. There was a Ford GT40 racing at Laguna Seca. The big fish at the wheel was none other than Adrian Newey. Once again, despite several attempts through proper channels, we were unable to net a conversation with him. As a last-ditch effort, I had to take matters in my own hand, and I walked up to him on Saturday and requested some time later in the day. As expected, he said he was busy. Totally understandable, but then he said maybe to another attempt at 1:30 p.m. and based on experience I knew what was coming. So when I circled back to the area at 1:30 or around that time, a team member gave me the boss gags tune. I'll be long gone by the time you make up your mind. But you know, we tried, and hopefully there'll be other times. And I also ran into Danny Sullivan. He used to live near the Laguna Seca track, but told me that he had moved to Florida. Very friendly guy. And I asked him if he was in Tampa. He said, no, I'm in Palm Beach. And of course, it was very good to catch up with F1 Weekly Familia members, Jimbo and Philip Pegler. Jimbo, as you know, is the F1 Weekly official LEFCO support vehicle. And Mr. Pegler, I requested him to submit a Pegler's perspective as we need some contribution on the audio side also, so which he will gladly do. Overall, Mr. Rogers, I had a great time, and many thanks to Miss Alicia at WeatherTech Laguna Seca Race Farm for media center access and parking, which makes our lives in our old age very convenient. So I'm very thankful for that. But here is the biggest agenda from that trip. One VIP was MIA. He is the host of one of the longest running F1 podcasts. Who could that be?
El Machismo de California, hombre.
And what was your excuse, sir? I know you have a valid reason.
Oh, of course, I always have a valid reason. I rarely miss an opportunity to go to Laguna Seca and see the people, because it's really all about the people, Nasser. No, I'm getting my house painted, and there were some technical issues and quality issues arising, and I thought I better stay on the scene and supervise to make sure everything was properly taken care of at the Palatial Studios. And this way, I thought that I can give you an extra je ne sais quoi, but I knew you were going to have a good time with your buddy Jimbo, and I know Philip Pegler was going to be there, and I knew you were going to have a wonderful time. You'll be fine without me because you're a professional. So I decided to focus on the studio. You went out there. But I did have a good time. I did go to Pebble Beach. Goody and Company was awesome. I mean, there was even a Citroën there. So I was a happy camper. But really, the talk of the town was all the Ferraris, the wrecked 500 Ferrari from 1954, which had been in a large crash in a race in 1960, a fiery crash, as you can tell. And it's simple, it's a wreck, but people paid $1.9 million. And it's not crazy because you're paying for the VIN number of the vehicle. So a masterful copy or some kind of restoration, resurrection, whatever they may call it. We know it's going to be billions and billions, but it was fun to get in the car, have some fun with it, and I posted those photos on the F1 Weekly listeners' Facebook page.
Yes, very good. Okay, sir, next we open the F. Lee Bailey file. The Massa Madness, you referred to the lawsuit. 15 years after losing the world championship so graciously to Lewis Hamilton, Felipe Massa is now embarking on the Midnight Madness train. He wants FIA to do a Bob Seger and turn the page and rewrite history. Now, I'm no Johnny Cochran of Karachi, but isn't there a statute of limitations on such things? My understanding is, per FIA rules and regulations, results cannot be changed after the year-end prize ceremony is done and dusted. Now, regarding the lawsuit, it's also required here in the USA, if the lawsuit is less than 5,000, a letter before claim is a required form of legal notice before court proceedings can begin. Such a letter was sent last week to F1 CEO Stefano Domenicali and FIA President Mohammed bin Sulayem by London-based Enyo Law Firm. And here I would like to thank Dr. Mark for sending me a link to a very nice story on this issue. So thank you, sir. Felipe Baby is seeking substantial damages resulting from alleged conspiracy that denied him the 2008 championship, resulting in loss of millions of dollars in earnings and bonus. Now, the conspiracy refers to a statement made recently by Bernie Ecclestone that both he and Max Mosley knew about the crash gate in 2008 and did nothing to avoid a major egg on F1's face. Now, this is public knowledge that Max Mosley, this is for what I've seen in published articles, that at the 2008 Brazilian Grand Prix, Nelson Piquet Sr. approached Max Mosley and told him what had happened. And they did not do anything because Max Mosley asked Nelson Piquet Jr. to sign an affidavit that this happened. And at that time, Piquet Papa and Piquet Piquet Bambino, they did not want to sign. But the next year when he got fired, then they wanted to sign, and that's how he got the immunity. So I don't know if Massa is trying to be the Rip Van Winkle of racing, but if he just woke up, then perhaps he should send a similar letter to Luca Di Montezemolo and his BFF, Rob Smedley, for what happened at the Hungaro Ring in 2008. If you recall, when Kobe took the checkered flag, Ron Dennis said on the team radio, "Welcome to the world of winning." Unfortunately for Massa, it turned out to be, "Welcome to the world of losing." On top of that, the snake in the Singapore pit lane also poisoned his championship dreams. And what happened in the final race, which he won the battle but lost the war because his championship aspirations were shot down by a Glock. What say you on this Massa situation, sir?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough nut, and I have to admit that you're right. I mean, Massa did take it well. I mean, we all had to watch his father, Massa, being champion for what, 15 seconds? And then it all just disappeared in front of his face. It was, all of us will never forget that scene. And of course, your buddy and friend, Lewis Hamilton, wins the world championship. But as the dirt goes, I mean, it was a strange year. With the Piquet, the Renault incident, Singapore, Fernando. I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on. And I know that Felipe has been, I mean, this has been in his craw, in his gut, for a long, long time. And he finally talked to somebody and said, you know what? The best thing to do to get this off your chest is to do what they do in America. Let's just sue everybody. And that's what they're doing. It's very trendy. And something could result because it is a big, big picture to see the manipulation of what happened, how it ended. So it's intriguing. It'll make a great movie. And I'm sure that that will be one of Lewis Hamilton's big forays in his future career in Hollywood.
Yes. And do you remember when he left Ferrari? They did not present him with the car, but they presented him with the engine only.
Yes, very. I mean, yeah, that's what's so sad. Everything was very, very sad. They gave him an engine on an engine stand. And I agree. I mean, it's worth a lot of money, but the big guns always got the car. Fernando got the cars. You could go see him at Oviedo. Schumacher got many, many cars. Everybody got cars except for Felipe Massa. So once again, it's really burning him up. He's got a lot of bitterness. And I think this is a great healing process for Felipe, because that way he could finally get it behind him. Because it's been a tough journey for the guy. And that was, I have to admit, 2008 was a strange season. But it was a tough one for a lot of people, including Ed Machismo.
Miss Claudia Schwartz, a former Williams F1 marketing executive. What better spice could there be than money and sex? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, she has filed a $100 million lawsuit against the Williams team and New York-based owners Doralton Capital, as if there is a shortage of lawyers in Manhattan. Okay, her allegations are that team members leaked false information about an adulterous affair she was having with former Doralton CEO Darren Fultz in an attempt to force them both out of the company without severance. Now, Williams has returned the serve with their own lawsuit against her for $6.9 million for defamation. Now, listen to, you know, there are two sides to every story. The Williams team alleged that between February 2021 and March 2022, Ms. Schwartz defrauded them of $6.9 million. According to the team, Schwartz inflated charges and funneled business to suppliers she had personal ties with, like her husband, some chap named Alex Ludwig, who was allegedly awarded contracts despite his exorbitant fees and limited qualifications. The only question I have, Mr. Rogers, is why am I not surprised? What do you see as the outcome of this Williams lawsuit?
No, this is, I mean, it's a little ugly, but I think she'll have to pay something in return. if they could prove, that's a big number, 6.9 million is a big number, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, I hate to see Williams, who's trying to get further up the grid. Let's hope the race team doesn't even spend any time thinking about this. Forget it. Let's focus on Albon and Logan Sargeant and, of course, Mick Schumacher, who's spying on Logan Sargeant.
But wait, there's more. Lawyers for Zak Brown and McLaren have sent a message to Alex Palou saying, "You've got lawsuit." They want their money back that was given to fight the lawsuit from Chip Ganassi and the advance payment made to Palou for joining McLaren. I have to say, Alex Palou has made a complete hash brown of his racing career in the racing world. I mean, he's very successful here in the U.S., but to get sued by two teams back-to-back, one by the team you are leaving, and then by the team you are supposed to join, it shows very piss-poor career management. Whether he's at fault or his management, I don't know, but not the way to, or as Mr. George H. Bush would say, not very prudent. What say you?
It wouldn't be prudent. You're right, Nasser. And what I don't understand, this Spaniard, this hombre de España, he should have, you know, maybe texted Pedro de la Rosa or Fernando for some good advice.
Oh, if that was done, he would be involved in three lawsuits, not two. But that's another story. Okay, sir, you mentioned Mick Schumacher, which brings me to what I would call a motorsports mantra, the second and third coming of Schumachers. We are not talking David and Goliath here, but David and Mick. As you said, some are trying very hard to get Mick Schumacher back in Formula One. Toto Wolff is one of them. What they want is Mick in, Sargeant out. Now, yes, Logan Sargeant is not rattling the cage of Albon, but his first season of Formula One is not even over, so I would say calm down. As far as Mick is concerned, he was part of FDA, Ferrari Driver Academy. Papa did a lot of rock and roll with the Scuderia, but the Academy showed him the door. Exit door, I should say. Now, we all make mistakes, so his crashes will not be held against him. But performance-wise, he could not even outperform Kevin Magnussen, who himself is now struggling against a driver who was out of Formula One for a few years. Now, none of this means Mick is a slow or bad driver. Seats in the pinnacle of motor racing are precious and few, and only a few thrive in the piranha pool. Mick's cousin and son of Ralph Schumacher, David, also did his best to reach the winning paradise his father and uncle once enjoyed. These days, he is out of single-seaters and racing in German tin tops, also known as DTM, German touring cars, with Mercedes. Would you like to see Mick back in Formula One, Senor?
I would. I mean, simply because his father is one of the greatest Formula One drivers of all time. Of course I would. I want him to be successful. I want him to make his mommy proud, because I'm that kind of a guy. But he has not shown great speed, great agility in Formula One. I mean, I know he's a Schumacher, and we all want him to succeed, but eventually he's going to have to go to Harvard.
Oh, just like Nick DeVries?
Correct.
Interesting. What about Liberty University, somewhere in Florida, where they teach values and morals?
That's a good idea. Liberty University is right next door to the Big Tent. What's that? Barnum and Bailey's Clown University.
Okay, very nicely said. You have become a very kinder and gentler Le Hose. Nice to see that. Okay, sir, I have a question for you. Are you coming down to Santa Cruz for breakfast at Paula's?
Yes, me and Dan are working on the logistics, Nasser. And once we get that all organized, my house and Palatial Studio is done painting. I know this is taking a long time. We will join you and maybe Jimbo for a wonderful, wonderful brunch, maybe at the Crow's Nest in Santa Cruz.
Okay, and on that happy note, shall we take a break or shall we invite Mr. Tim Vichak into the Palatial Studios?
Why don't we take a quick break while Ken is in the green room? We'll be back after these brief messages.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charente region, sipping on Cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charente. Opening in June 2012, Bassignol offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassignol is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassignol.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y!
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Rogers, you never know who you will run into when you step out of your spider hole and point your feet to the sunny side of the street. So I come here to California and go to Laguna Seca. And in the media room, I run into a chap who is a professional photographer, but he's new to the world of motor racing, which he enjoys very much. And he was in the fashion industry. And last year he came to Laguna Seca and just absolutely fell in love with motor racing, and he showed me some of his work. Very nice photography he's doing right now. He has been to the Classic Le Mans, and so we will, you know, put some photos from him on the website. But we did record a nice conversation with him, so I hope our listeners will enjoy this chit-chat, and I would like to thank Tim a lot for his time and his cooperation. So please enjoy this conversation with Mr. Tim Vichak. Okay, folks, I'm here at Laguna Seca with Mr. Tim Vichak. Tim, good to meet you. How are you today?
It's a pleasure to meet you as well, and I'm having a fantastic day. I mean, how could you not go out at Laguna Seca, one of the most incredible tracks in the world, with some fantastic racing happening this weekend, and I have the pleasure and honor of capturing it.
Great. Now, we want to hear your story starting from the beginning. So, what part of the world are you from?
Well, I was actually originally born and raised in California, of all places. But with an English mum and an American dad, I went to boarding school in the UK for a number of years, with half of my family being back over there. So I'm a man of two continents, as it were. Not so much divided allegiances as combined. So,
well, then, important question is, what's your choice? Hot dogs or fish and chips?
Will
determine your allegiance.
In which case, I'm apparently 100% English, because it's proper fish and chips every single time.
Oh dear, nothing wrong with that. Okay, England is the home of motor racing, 10 Grand Prix world champions from there, names like Clark and Stewart, now Hamilton. What was your first introduction to motorsports?
My first introduction was getting up in the boarding house. Yes, English boarding school, I know, a bit of a cliche, but we would get up early every Sunday morning and go down and watch the Formula One races, with Schumacher, of course, being the man of the times that we were all avidly, ravidly following. You could see red seas as far as everyone went, jerseys plastered everywhere, and you'd just sit with bated breath watching and wondering what was going to happen next, because, well, he was a little bit aggressive at times out on the track.
Yes, that's what we like. Okay, now, in that era, who did you have a racing favorite? What attracted you to Formula One, not to Le Mans, or MotoGP, or RAC Rally, or Premier League football?
Well, I have a terrible secret that I've got to share. I never understood the allure at the time when seeing it on television, and it wasn't until I got to see motorsport in person that it finally clicked and connected. Because the sounds, the smell of the racing fuel, of the hot rubber burning on the asphalt, that experience is something that you just don't get through the television. So while I followed and I enjoyed with my roommates, the moment that it truly connected was only a year ago here at Laguna Seca, the Rolex Motorsport Reunion, when I finally had a chance to see it all for the first time, and that is when I truly fell in love.
Great. Did you go to any racing tracks in England or Europe?
I'd never had the opportunity growing up, so the only way to experience it all was on TV. So while I was religiously get up and watch and enjoy, and while I followed Schumacher with everyone else, that crazy Dane didn't quite... Well, no, I loved seeing him race. That's a lie. I loved to see him out on the track, but when I fell in love, that was a year ago here at Laguna Seca.
At the historic event, which we are here again today, so will you please tell our listeners what are you doing today, these days?
Well, these days I am, well, as I've pretty much always been, I'm sitting behind the lens. I've been a photographer since I was 5 and first started stealing my parents' cameras wherever we went. And when the opportunity came up to finally be able to photograph motorsport through one of the track sponsors here actually last year, through Racer Coffee, I was just blown away at the community of people surrounding racing. It was something completely otherworldly. The camaraderie, the friendships that are built is unlike anything I've ever seen anywhere else in the world.
Okay, and now you're taking photographs. Do you specialize in a certain era, a certain class, a certain category? What's your, photography agenda?
Well, for me, it bounces about quite a bit, but my favourites at the moment are certainly the 60s and 70s, I would say, with those of the ilk of the Lotus 26Rs, the John Player specials, seeing the Formula 5000s out there as well. Formula Junior is fantastic. I love seeing anything that encourages heavy competition. IndyCar is amazing. I mean, for more modern work as well, I love anything that brings out the best in the drivers and shows pure competition from beginning to end. That drives me and just reaches down into my soul.
Very good. And when it comes to motor racing, Formula One in particular, which is what we love at F1
yes.
Weekly, are you paying any, I don't want to say attention, but are you following modern day Grand Prix racing?
Oh, absolutely. And seeing the heavy domination of Red Bull, of Max not stopping, Max Verstappen, and seeing all of that, but having followed Lewis Hamilton also some previously, seeing, yes, a very dominant field, also though is, to me, almost inspiring, because it means that each and every day, each and every weekend, they're putting out their very best. There's never any slack, there's never any pullback, there's never any coasting for the finish. It's always pushing to the maximum, it's always pushing as hard as you possibly can, making it look effortless, making it look easy is one of the most difficult things you can possibly do in any sport. And seeing that happen is fantastic for the sport and for motoring in general.
Here is another test of your allegiance. Lewis Hamilton, 7-time world champion or 8-time world champion?
Oh, that's just unfair.
No, we don't allow PC-ness here, so you have to take a side.
Honestly, I've loved seeing Lewis Hamilton. I've loved seeing him out on the track. He's a character, and that just really, really connects with a lot of people, myself included, and seeing that confidence, even when he isn't sitting where he was, seeing that continued drive and determination during those low points, that is truly inspiring, because to win is amazing. To keep going when you aren't, that is even more so.
And what do you make of what Carl Max non-stop, and how do you rate him as a racing talent?
Oh, well, he's... I'd have to say he's certainly up there in the top 5, top 10, just sort of, period. But you also have to give it not just to Max, but also to his team, because his team is absolutely phenomenal. The engineering that they've been doing over at Red Bull is obviously... They just continue to leap ahead with each and every build-out. So seeing that progression of the combination of team and driver, of driver and car, it's those blended formats, not format, but seeing all of them working in concert with one another, it's like listening to a symphony. It's a symphony on wheels.
Yes. What about the GP2 engine that has become so competitive?
Ah, well...
You know what I'm referring to, right? The Alonso comment?
I would like to say that racing drivers in Formula One are every much the sportsmen that we have come to expect from Formula One and Premier League footballers.
Okay, now you do this for a living, right?
I do.
First of all, what is your website?
Well, my website is simple but difficult to spell. So it's vechik.com. That's vechak.com, my last name. Simple and easy, but tricky to get from just hearing it outright.
Now, talking about tricky, interesting background to your name and what it goes to. You said you're very happy to be in the U.S. now, and who wouldn't be, but you have a special reason.
Oh, yes. Well, the last time that there was a bit of a conflict between the Ukraine and, or between Ukraine and Russia, back after the World War, my great-grandparents fled persecution and fled death because their family was being hunted and killed by the Cossacks. But I'm exceptionally glad that they did, and it proves that even out of adversity, amazing things can be born, because if they hadn't, then they, living in, as they were at the time in Chernobyl, would have no longer been on the face of the planet. So it just goes to prove that even the hardest of times, even the most difficult of circumstances, can be leading you right to where you need to be.
Absolutely. Okay, now you're looking at some of your beautiful images, and I'd really, really like some, like this picture on the right, bottom right. What is that? Tell me.
Seeing that beautiful Porsche coming up the main straight at Le Mans at twilight, sitting there in the blue hour, it sort of encompasses the loneliness of the drive, but also the grandeur of what it means to be in Le Mans. So, having travelled as I did for the first time out for the centenary of Le Mans, it was simply an experience unlike any other. And the drivers out there at Le Mans Classic, even with these older cars, even seeing these Porsches from the 60s and 70s, seeing the Lotuses and the Ford GT40s, the drivers are still pushing these cars to their absolute limits, and seeing that dedication out there in all these different circumstances is just unlike anything else.
Okay, tell me about this photo with a bunch of red cars and a blue car. This is also very impressive. Can you blow this up?
I can't necessarily blow this one up, but I can pull
it
up later.
Yes.
Well, that right there is the Mini Motors. It's bringing in all of the different young kart drivers, the next generation of Formula One drivers, of IndyCar and Le Mans. Seeing all these drivers coming up and through is phenomenal. Just there was a sea of cars and drivers looking to be as young as 8 years old out there competing with the early teenagers, and it's just incredible to see, even at that young age, the confidence that comes with it, that comes with this sport.
Okay, earlier you were showing me a very nice picture of an Indy car, and I believe there was one,
yes.
Maybe it was a Formula 5000 car, Viceroy, and also a JPS Lotus. Can you tell us a little bit about those pictures, please? Because they are very nice, both of them.
For the IndyCar, was that Matt Brabham, grandson,
yes,
of the infamous Brabham. He was driving for Indy Lights last year here, also at Laguna Seca. And Matt is a phenomenal driver, and not just an amazing driver, but a truly incredible person. Extremely down-to-earth, very humble, but exceptional out on the track. So even in times of difficulty, I've seen him move happily from P8 to P2 on the grid. And when you're in such a competitive environment, making that many moves forward is a true testament to his family heritage.
Okay.
Now, for the Lotus, the John Player Special, yes?
Yes.
How could you not fall in love with the brown and gold? Seeing that whipping around the track, there's a sound that comes with it that's just unlike any other. It's the growl and whine combined just.
Now, this
moves
is another
you.
Beautiful action shot at bottom right. What is this?
I believe that is a.
That's
phenomenal.
Le Mans?
Yes, that is from Le Mans Classic also. A vintage Ferrari whipping around the corner in the S's, and an extremely long exposure, trying to capture that sort of movement and frenetic energy that comes with motor racing.
Do you have any Formula One cars that you can show me, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that? Where is this photo taken?
Okay, this photo, the John Player Special, rushing down through the bridges underneath the colleges at the Long Beach Grand Prix this year, earlier this year in April. Seeing those exhibition laps was still phenomenal, the way that the sound echoes back and forth, but who doesn't have a special place in their heart for that Lotus?
Well, the helmet is of Mario Andretti. Was he the driver?
It may well have been a faux Andretti. Andretti was here actually last year for the IndyCar event, but...
Okay, now we have a nice picture of Jackie Stewart's Tyrrell, and once again it has the same helmet as the driver. Is this the real Jackie or a fake Jackie? And is this also from Long Beach?
This is also from Long Beach, and as to the driver, I plead the fifth.
Yeah. I think it's a fake Stewart, but that's fine, that's fine. You know, it's good to see these cars roaring, and I'm a big fan of when they are out on the track.
Oh, well, you have to be. And seeing them continue to live on year after year.
Exactly.
However they're driven, it's the fact that they remain driven that I feel to be one of the most important things.
Great. I really appreciate your time. And once again, please tell our listeners about your website. And if you have any message, we have listeners all over the world and quite a few in jolly old England.
Well, thank you very much. Again, this is Tim Vecek at Vecek, V-E-C-H-I-K.com. And I'd love to connect with you pretty much anywhere. Search for the name, you'll find me on social.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Tim, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. Back to you, Nas.
Okay, sir, now we will start with the motorsports situation around the world. We'll start with Japanese Super Formula at Motegi, track owned by Honda. Harum scarum at the start as Liam Lawson spins and sends two other cars flying in the air. One of the drivers was taken to hospital, but hopefully, you know, nothing serious. The race was red flagged, and after the restart, Liam was able to continue but could only finish 13th. Victory went to local yokel Tomoki Nojiri. In the championship, Lawson is now second with 86 points. Ritomo Miyata leads with 94 points. The final round of the season will take place at the end of October, a doubleheader at Suzuka. And of course, both Motegi and Suzuka owned by Honda. Okay, after two non-championship winning seasons in Formula 2, Liam Lawson needs to win this championship to stay in good graces of the good doctor. This season, Red Bull has six drivers in Formula 2, and Japanese Ayumu Iwasa is the best placed of the six in third with 134 points. Sauber Junior Theo Pourchaire leads the championship with 168 points. It is possible that Iwasa can win the championship, but I think it will be very hard for him to do so at this stage of the season. Okay, sir, MotoGP round 10 of 20 at Red Bull Ring in Austria, of course. Four Ducatis in the top five. Very, very impressive with Paisan Francesco Bagnaia. He's known as Pecco Bagnaia. He was the winner. Marc Marquez was 12th on his Honda. Championship, top three riders are all from Ducati camp. Francesco Bagnaia leads with 251 points. Jorge Martin is second on 189. And third is Marco Bezzecchi on 183 points. And sir, here next is your favorite series. What do you call it?
Le NASCAR.
There you go. From Watkins Glen. Fifth win of the season for William Byron. FedEx driver Denny Hamlin was second. Now, this is impressive because there are a lot of things NASCAR does very well. List of corporate sponsors in NASCAR is very impressive. They range from Valvoline to Shell Oils, from Monster Energy to Busch Light, from German technology company Siemens to Indian tractor manufacturer Mahindra, and from Allegiant Airlines to FedEx, and from McDonald's to Go Bowling. And Go Bowling was the sponsor of the race at Watkins Glen. I think it's time to bring back Darrell Waltrip as an announcer so he can go, boogity, boogity, let's go bowling, boys. Would you like to see him come back, sir?
Sure, everybody loves Waltrip. But you know, so I did watch some of this race. Very fun to watch. Watkins Glen, awesome track. Now, is go bowling really go bowling, you know, with the 10 pins? Or go bowling, is that visiting a town called Bowling?
You mean Bowling Green, Kentucky?
Thank you.
Yes. Well, if Corvette was in the race, I would say it would mean Bowling Green, Kentucky. But I think it's go bowling, go bowling. Sure, what was the song? Sure Plays a Mean Pinball?
That would be A Pinball Wizard by The Who.
There you go. There you go. I think that's what they're referring to.
Okay, I understand. It's just bowling is not very popular. I mean, in San Jose alone, we used to have lots of bowling alleys. I think we're down to three.
Yeah, I remember. Anyway, you can always send an email to NASCAR mynascar.com, and they can, I'm sure they'll be happy to explain to you. You're looking for more fans these days, especially from the left coast. Okay, sir, a new race is coming, race series, I should say, a 5-round, 15-race series. This would be the Indian Formula 4 Championship, and the Dutch team, MP Motorsport, they have teams in Formula 3 and Formula 2. They have been contracted to run all of the cars in the inaugural season, which I believe will start in October. And there will be 12 cars, and it will be open to international drivers also. A season in the series is expected to cost a driver only about $125,000, so, you know, pretty cheap. And cars will be French-built Mégane, powered by Alpine engine. Not sure how many Alpines they are selling in Mumbai, but this is what the agenda is. And, sir, at the top of the show, you mentioned Bill Vukovich. I saw this news like 5 minutes before the recording. Very sad. And this family, you know, they came from Fresno, California. And the original Bill Vukovich, he was on his way to winning his third Indy 500 in a row when he crashed and was, you know, killed. And then Bill Vukovich, second, was Rookie of the Year in 1968. And this is a gentleman who has passed away now on August 20th at the age of 79, like you said. And I very well remember he was Rookie of the Year in 68, and his son, I believe, was Rookie of the Year in 20 years later in 88, Bill Vukovich the third. And I do remember watching, I think it was Wind Tunnel or Speed show that they used to have. And he also, the kid also lost his life in a racing accident in a, I think it was a dirt race, sprint car race at a track in Bakersfield, California. So that's very, very sad, and our condolences to the Vukovich family. And, you know, speaking of this, if somebody is interested in doing a Google search, you know, different people have different interests. Long time ago, when I was in Karachi, Mr. Rogers, I picked up a magazine, and I know it was not Road and Track or Car and Driver. Tempted to say it was Circle Track, which I very rarely saw there in those days. We're talking early 80s. And there was an article written by a chap named Joe Scalzo, who is very well known in American racing media circus. And the article was about Billy Vukovich, the first, you know, the gentleman who was killed in 1955. It was very well researched, very well documented. And to this day, that story is one of the best motorsport stories I have ever read in my life. So quite a passing of a name, but time marches on.
Yeah, awesome. If anybody's interested, I mean, obviously some of this stuff is on YouTube, but the Vukovich name, there were only five families to have three generations of drivers compete in the greatest spectacle in racing. The names are unbelievable. They're joining the Unsers, Andretti's, Foyt's, Brabham's. I mean, we're talking royalty of racing. So pretty awesome.
And sir, have you, I put a link on the F1 Weekly listeners on Facebook. Rain is expected Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Netherlands. That really changes the landscape of who will win the rain. Would you care to guess?
Well, obviously this puts it all in Fernando's hands.
You sure now?
That's what I think. My French crystal ball.
Oh, I know. I totally agree with you. It puts in his hands to grab the second place behind Max. You're right, sir.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to rain. Just great. Well, I mean, we knew Max was going to win. Dry, rain, snow. So we'll see what happens. Also, I'm curious how much rain they'll tolerate before we see the red flag in qualifying, we see the red flag in the race, because it's not like it used to be. And even Max Verstappen, I have to admit, has been teasing the FIA that they're becoming more and more like NASCAR when it's concerned with rain. So Max mocks them. Max just wants to race and be at the front of the spear forever. And I love what Max says. If he's not dominating in 2026, he's going fishing.
Well, the seaside track, so he can go fishing in Sanford, you know. He doesn't have to travel much. And, you know, I remember once upon a time there was a rain at in 1975, and it helped James Hunt get his first win in the Hesketh. So maybe we can have a first win for Aston Martin in Formula One.
That would be absolutely awesome. Fernando needs it. And Fernando, he knows the end is near, the final curtain, but he's still singing, I did it my way.
Yeah, I think it would be a good idea for Lance Stroll to make Fernando chairman of the board.
Good point.
Yes, sir. Oh, the question was brought up by Mr. Pegler at Laguna Seca. Who's going to get the first win for McLaren, Lando Norris or Oscar Piastri? What say you?
Piastri is finally showing some machismo-ness, and I think it's going to get pretty competitive if their next upgrade works and bears fruit, because the last upgrade went backwards, so we'll see what happens. And the second part of the season is coming up in Holland, obviously, but everybody, I know they're not supposed to work on the cars during summer, but they all do. So we're going to see some interesting shuffles. We'll see where Haas can make some progress. I want Haas to be more successful. I really do, because I like Steiner. I like Hulkenberg. And we need to get Hulk on the podium.
Have you heard the latest sort of, you know, when you do an interview, it's what sells grabs the headlines. I saw a headline today. Romain Grosjean, I'm sure IndyCar people are very happy about this. He made a comment that IndyCar technology is 30 years behind Formula One.
Well, you know, I was waiting for this to happen. Now that he's had a couple of fights with Will Power, and there's some deep animosity with other drivers, Romain Grosjean is not as successful as we thought he might be. But of course, you begin to critique the cars. It's on purpose, folks. IndyCar does not want to be a super expensive, high-tech behemoth. They're trying to keep it manageable. So, folks, and I think that's what keeps IndyCar IndyCar. So, yes, 30 years, 20 years, I don't know. But, hey, he should stop bitching.
Well, there's an IndyCar season finale coming up at Laguna Seca first, what is it, first Saturday or first or second weekend at Laguna Seca. Is Mr. Rogers going there?
Yes, I am going to go if my credentials have been accepted. But sometimes you never know what's going to happen over there.
You know, tell me about it. Okay.
We manage through it, though.
Yes, we normally do. Through thick and thin. Fire and ice, we get there. Okay, anything else, Mr. Rogers?
No, I just want to thank everybody at Goody & Company for being so sweet and generous. And, of course, RM Sotheby's. I even brought my little dog with me, and they were totally cool.
What's his name, Roscoe or Paco?
Nope, it's Gunther.
Gunther, oh wow. From the Steiner family?
Jawohl. The whole weekend was good, and we got the house done. I'm pretty happy. Me missing Laguna Seca is not that big of a deal. I've been there many, many times since the early 80s, so I'm okay, Nasser. But I'm really glad you had a good time with Jimbo and Philip. It's always good to hear about the F1 Weekly Familia meeting you at the track and holding hands and skipping.
Yeah, I'm here till Friday. I'm leaving, flying back to FLA on Saturday morning. So please make sure you drop by with Signor Gentile. And we'll just go from there.
Absolutely. And I have to admit, California was hit by a hurricane for the first time in, I think, 84 years. So we've had rain in San Jose, the San Francisco Bay Area, had rain today. It was very exciting, very rare in the month of August.
Interesting. Well, I hope everybody's safe and sound in SoCal.
Absolutely. It's pretty bad down there, so let's give them a break, and let's hope we didn't lose any classic cars. So, great weekend. It was a lot of fun. We'll probably post more pictures on the front page and on the Facebook page for F1Weekly.com.
Thank you, sir. And on that happy note, we say ciao, ciao.
Thank you, Nas. Keep up the good work. And we will have breakfast in a few days. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Enjoy. Good night.